Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Wall EN Payments call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, April 26, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Sean Walcott. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Stephanie, and welcome and thank you for attending the All EN Payments call today, Tuesday, April 26, 2016. I'm Sean Walcott, EN Payments Manager, and your host for the call today. Joining me in our McLean office is Deborah Tennessee, Ticket Operations Manager, and on the line behalf of the Social Security Administration, I have Natalie Sendeldorfer, Shauna Dixon, and Shannon Morgan. Thank you all for attending. Let's get started. We are going to discuss our agenda for today. We're going to discuss the ePay status, the SAM profile, how ENs can assist beneficiaries in preventing overpayments, learning opportunities, ticket portal tips and tricks, and our question and answer forum. So let's get started. With our ePay status, TPM is currently processing a new ePay file. Claims are processed by Social Security number instead of DUNS. The new ePay file contains a little over 14,000 SSNs, that is. As of Monday, April 25th, our EN payment staff has processed 748 SSNs thus far. As a reminder, if you have evidence of earnings or approved earnings are available in our system, you may submit your payment request through the ticket portal instead of waiting for ePay. An additional reminder, ensure that your EN payment contact information is current. We reference it for payment outreach messages and confirmation of possible split payments. Verify your payment contact using the ticket portal by selecting View Directory Information about your EN or SVR from the main menu. To add or modify a payment contact, please send a request to enservice@ssa.gov and specify the name of the person and indicate the title you want them to have. All payments contacts must have completed suitability. As we proceed to the next slide, the System for Award Management, better known as SAM. SAM registrations must be renewed annually at www.sam.gov. ENs must review their account information periodically and report any profile changes immediately. Social Security and the U.S. Treasury cannot make payments to an EN if the SAM profile is not active or banking information current. SSA will notify an EN if payments are held because SAM registration has expired. To ensure your payments are sent to the correct account, notify SSA at enservice@ssa.gov when changing your banking information. It is the EN's responsibility to ensure that its SAM registration is current. Only ENs with active SAM registration are included in ePay. How can ENs assist beneficiaries in preventing overpayments? ENs can help beneficiaries by doing the following: encouraging beneficiaries to report their earnings in a timely manner, and encouraging all beneficiaries that are self-employed to file their income taxes by April 15th, and also familiarizing beneficiaries who are self-employed with pertinent tax forms. Encouraging beneficiaries to report their earnings directly to their claims representative and to request written documentation of their earnings as reported each month. Additionally, inform beneficiaries that they may contact the field office and voluntarily request suspension of benefits to avoid or reduce a possible overpayment. A voluntary request for suspension may be processed when the beneficiary commits the following: has completed the grace period after the trial work period, is not entitled to a trial work period is in the expedited reinstatement period. If the beneficiary thinks he or she should no longer get monthly benefits, he or she should always sell the field office. In addition, the beneficiary should hold the checks or deposit them in a separate bank account until it is clear whether or not benefits should have been suspended. Learning opportunities. The TPM and SSA wants you to thoroughly understand the new ticket portal and how to complete transactions in it. Your first training opportunity is the self-paced module that was created to offer a simulated experience of working within the ticket portal. This module allows you to go through the transactions as if you were really completing them. It is highly recommended that you work your way through the self-paced module as time allows to create a comfort level with performing transactions within the portal. Accessing the payment request from the actions menu. You can access the payment request screen by selecting the actions menu from the list of beneficiaries currently assigned to your EN. The more actions screen provides several options, including request a payment. Enter the attainment month. The payment request screen will display. This screen is an input screen where the EN can request payment for a claim month based on the beneficiary selected from the beneficiaries currently assigned to me screen. If you have accessed this screen from the main menu, you will be prompted for the SSN. Again, only evidentiary payments are being accepted through the portal. Only one payment request can be submitted at a time, because each payment request automatically creates a work case in SSA system. If you submit multiple claim months for the same payment request by mistake, the additional months will be denied as a duplicate request. This chart provides guidance on how to select the appropriate claim month for Phase 1 milestones. It is also included in the user guide. For example, if you're requesting a Phase 1 Milestone 2, then you would enter the third month or attainment month that qualifies you for payment. Select a payment type and add earnings. If Phase 1 milestones are not available for the ticket, you will not see the option to request a Phase 1 milestone payment. Select the type of payment you are requesting and then click Submit. Only Phase 2 milestones and outcome will display as choices. At this stage, the system is performing several checks and will provide an important information box with a message regarding what was found. The portal will perform a review to determine if there are sufficient earnings in SSA's records to pay this case. If there are sufficient earnings, you do not need to provide evidence. In this example, there are not enough earnings. Since the portal only accepts evidentiary payment requests, if there are not enough earnings in SSA system to pay the claim, you must submit evidence that the beneficiary is working at the level required for the payment type that you requested in the claim month you entered. If you do not have earnings evidence, select the close button to cancel the creation of a payment request. If you do have earnings evidence, select yes under add earnings. Enter earnings. Limit of 25 earnings per request. No need to enter earnings more than once. Must complete all fields marked with an asterisk. A ticket holder earnings box will display. You must complete all fields marked with an asterisk again. As we proceed to the next slide, review and verify earnings. When you click on the submit button, you are automatically creating a case in SSA's system. A fax cover sheet is automatically generated to associate your earnings evidence with the payment request you created in the ticket portal. If you have finished entering the earnings information, review your payment request to make sure it is complete and accurate. When you click on the submit button, you are automatically creating a case in SSA system. You cannot edit or delete a payment request once it has been submitted. You will notice there is a checkbox next to proof of earnings will be faxed in. This automatically generates a fax cover sheet that will associate your earnings evidence with the payment request you are creating in the portal. If you uncheck this box, a cover sheet will not generate. You will need to generate an additional cover sheet to attach the earnings evidence to the work case you created. You also have the option to add a note by clicking yes. This is not viewable by the payment specialist that will process your request. Fax cover sheet. If you entered earnings on the previous page or manually checked the box to create a fax cover sheet, you'll be taken to this page. Click Download Fax Mail Cover page to save a copy of the cover sheet. The cover sheet will generate your payment request has been created. Your payment request will now show up on the list of pending payments. This will complete the presentation portion of our call and would like to start our question and answer session. Deborah, do we have any questions presented in the chat room?
We have a lot of questions in the chat room, but I think I'm trying to answer them as quickly as they are entered, but I can answer safely some questions as you ask the question. Mary Lynn Bavoir asked the question, how long will it take before payment is paid once we see the status of the cloud and the portal?
Normally, it could take 4 to 7 business days, and I say that normally, but it could take a little bit longer. What we've seen historically, however, is 4 to 7 business days.
Thank you, Deborah.
We cannot hear Deborah talking. I'll repeat my answer. Was a question Mary Lynn asked, how long will it take to see their payments paid or money's posted in their accounts after they see the status allowed in the portal? It normally takes 4 to 7 business days. It can take longer, but historically it has been 4 to 7 business days. Now, Elaine has the question, can we use scanning email instead of faxing? If you're talking about faxing documentation or additional information into a payment request that you've submitted through the portal, no. You should use that cover sheet that you printed when you originally entered your payment request through the portal. You could attach to that cover sheet anything that you want, but you have to fax it back to the number that's listed. The reason for that is that cover sheet has a work case number. Once it's faxed back into SSA, that cover sheet and any information that's associated with that cover sheet will automatically associate to your work case, and it makes it much easier and faster for us to work it. There's a question, if a fax cover sheet does not come up after entering the pay information, is there any way to have the fax page, I guess, created? Whoever sent that that question in, could you please send that into our EN Payments Help Desk if you've experienced that type of situation? Because you should be able to, once you've completed a payment request, you should be able to fax that cover sheet. So there may be something else wrong there. Okay. I have a case. This is from Robert. I have a case recently where I had 9 payments allowed and then reversed the next day. Any reason why this happened? Robert, again, this is a specific situation. You should send that into the payment help desk. And if you have work case numbers, it will be helpful to submit those. Okay.
Any additional questions, Deborah?
Uh-huh.
There's a question about CPRs. We don't have information to provide on CPRs at this time, but if you have a question on CPRs, Sarah, send that into our help desk and we'll forward that up to SSA. Okay. Let's see. At one time, we were receiving e-pay payments quarterly, but we have not received payments since December. The only thing I can tell you, Brian, on that is based on the earnings information that we receive quarterly, and we just received a quarterly file, updated quarterly file. You may be able to, we may find some payments that you're eligible for this time around. If not, then, and you believe that you are due some payments, send them in by way of the payment request because, again, we process, we'll create an e-pay file based on earnings that are posted to Social Security system. Okay, someone else asked what was the help desk phone number, and Janet Cousin, our provider support department manager, has provided the number. It's 866-949-3687. Thank you, Janet. Okay. If we, Jennifer asked the question, if we call Maximus to suspend a ticket, will the ticket holder still be protected from CDRs during the time frame that ticket is suspended? I'm not sure that we suspend tickets. I think there's an inactive, status. I have to confirm that, that there is an inactive status that we can place on a ticket. And I'm not really sure about what happens with that. But, again, we can get the answer to that and get that answer for you, Jennifer. When is the quarterly file expected to be processed? Not a quarterly file. I guess you mean the quarterly e-pay file, if that's what you're referring to. When I say quarterly, I'm referring to the earnings file. That's when we try, or SSA tries to run an e-pay file. They try to run it in tangent with the quarterly earnings file, OXY file that we receive, and so that we will have the latest earnings information. We're processing that file right now. At the beginning of the presentation, Sean mentioned that we just got a file, and we have over 14,000 SSNs, so please be patient. We process these SSNs one at a time. We assess, when we process, and I tried to put a little bit of this in the chat, when we have a claim or an SSN, we look to see, of course, what earnings have come in, but we look back to see if any earnings have been posted for a prior period. We see what has been paid, what has not been paid. So we work these claims almost as if it's a brand new claim coming in the door. And even though there may be new earnings coming in, we look for old earnings as well. Okay. Anybody else with questions?
Okay. At this time, I'd like to open up our phone lines for our question and answer forum. Stephanie, please advise our audience. Our phone lines are open for any payment-related topics they would like to discuss.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the pound. One moment, please, for your first question. And we do have a question from Steve Gerke.
Hi, this is Steve Gerke with SKG Career Services in Colorado. My question is, when I have someone that's self-employed and they're doing a quarterly statement, I've heard conflicting information about whether they're supposed to send that in or not, or whether I can send that in for them or not.
Let me tell you about SEI. We don't have what we call certification payment requests anymore. And what you're talking about is a certification payment request where ENs send in a payment request and attached to it is an SEI form where the beneficiary can fill out gross earnings, expenses, and net. This is information that has not been reported to the IRS. Social Security doesn't have those earnings. We don't know what taxes have been paid. So we do not use that information. One other piece of information, as Sean mentioned at the very beginning, was to for self-employment income beneficiaries to file their taxes as soon as possible. That's the because that information goes to the IRS, and we know what the net income is and what taxes the beneficiary was liable for. So that's considered evidentiary earnings or evidentiary, is evidentiary once we have the earnings posted to SSA's database. If, Steve, you have a payment request or a beneficiary who is self-employed, more than likely for current claims, we would not pay you because we would not have any earnings information in SSA's database for those earnings. At this point, I do believe that we do have we start receiving some SEI earnings, posted earnings in SSA's database, so we're paying more SEI cases now. You can also try, if you're not sure whether or not the earnings are in SSA's database, you can submit your payment request through the portal. At the point where you list the claim month, you may get a message that earnings are already proven. If you get that message, even if you don't have evidence of earning earnings, if the earnings are already proven, that case can go through. You don't have to worry about submitting any earnings information because it's already in SSA's database. We will accept that claim, and we will work it based on the earnings that are in SSA's database. And at that point, what we would do, we'll look at the payment status of the beneficiary to see what type of payment you might be eligible for, whether we've already, we will assess the claim from the very beginning.
It's not necessary for either myself or the beneficiary to send those statements anymore. They just need to do the taxes.
Exactly, yes.
Perfect.
But again, if say for instance, there's a beneficiary you've been working with for 2014 and they have earnings, you could send that request in even if you don't have any evidence at all.
Mm-hmm.
That by now we should have 2014 earnings posted. So more than likely, if your beneficiary has submitted their tax returns for 2014, the earnings are posted at SSA's database.
Okay. And then what's the procedure in terms of I have an individual who has not been reporting his self-employment income. It's been 2 years.
I guess IRS will catch up with them eventually, and they, this is what this program is all about, is, getting beneficiaries back to work, and based on their earnings, we pay ENs when the beneficiaries reach certain milestones, but we have to have some evidence of their earnings. So as much as possible, they could even go into a field office. I believe there are some SEI beneficiaries who report their earnings to field offices, and I've seen that.
Doing what he's supposed to do.
And because, on the quarterly earnings reports, it's only based on what employers report. So if you're self-employed, that information doesn't come to us. We get our earnings information a number of ways, but if the earnings are not reported, we don't get it at all.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our next question comes from the line of Lisa Parlatiano.
Hey, this is Lisa Parlatiano, Career Source in Northeast Florida.
Hello.
I had a question about the Work Incentive Planning and Assistance offices and the local protocols. And I know it's being worked on. Do you have any updates for us? And I'll tell you my difficulty. I am no longer, for a while now, able to refer one of my customers to my local WIPA office to meet with a community work incentive coordinator.
Okay.
The local instructions are that our customers need to call the Ticket to Work helpline. When the Ticket to Work customer calls the helpline because they are connected with us, we'd like them to do that before their ticket is assigned. But we've met with them, and we've provided that information and some other services even before the ticket's assigned. The information that they get when they call the Ticket to Work helpline is information about all other ENs and can they, get a list of all the ENs, which is fine. Most of them have already done that. That's how they found us.
Okay.
And the Ticket to Work helpline representative will not give them a referral to the WIPA office unless they're working or work is imminent, or if they're in active job search.
Let me give you someone to send your inquiry to. It's actually the manager of our beneficiary helpline where those beneficiaries are submitting those inquiries. Send your question directly to, and I'm going to give you this name, Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E, Armstrong, A-R-M-S-T-R-O-N-G, at Maximus.com. And Lori should be able to answer that for you. Because the beneficiary helpline staff have been trained on WIPA referrals, and I cannot answer your question at this point, but Lori can look into that and answer it for you.
I appreciate that, and I realize this is called a payments call, so I kind of threw that one in there.
At least we have someone you can contact on this.
Right, and we do want beneficiaries to know how earnings will impact their benefits. It's such an important part of the program. So I will contact Lori, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of John Stamps.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, how you doing? I just wondering now, since the e-pay system has been implemented now, would that system prevent overpayments? Will there be any overpayments anymore?
It's always a possibility of overpayments because, again, let me tell you about this process. We should have less, but it is a manual adjudication process. We have a number of controls in place. We have what we call an end-line review or end-of-line review to try to reduce the number of overpayments. So the answer to that question is yes, there will be overpayments, but it should be less.
Mm-hmm. So this is not a closed case situation where we don't have to be concerned about overpayments anymore.
I think it should always be a concern there, but, you know, if you kind of know your beneficiaries that you're dealing with, if you know they're working or if you know they're not working, we have had ENs who have sent us money back, who have said, I know for a fact this person is working. I've had ENs who have said, I'm not doing anything for them. That's very, very rare and far between, but sometimes the EN has to give us information, too. I don't know of a situation where we would have paid an EN where the beneficiary was not working in under today's e-pay rules. It may have been under one of our older e-pay processes when we were looking at consistent earnings. But there is still the possibility of an overpayment.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from Erin Mark.
Hi, yes, this is Erin from Reability in Portland, Oregon. I have two questions. The first, I think, was already answered, but I just want to make sure because I heard something about 2014 tax earnings. Excuse me. I just wanted to make sure the most current quarterly earnings file is capturing the 2015 tax returns, because I have a couple clients that really haven't been reporting their income like they should. So I was just wondering if your most current quarterly earnings file is going to capture the last year's tax income.
I know SSA is on a phone, but I can't tell you. If somebody from SSA could tell us what's the latest quarter that Oxy earnings, that we've received Oxy earnings for, I thought it was maybe the last quarter of 2015, but I'm not sure because this is just April, 4 months into the year, and I've heard that we could be 6 months behind on getting those earnings, so I'm not really sure if there's
This is Natalie at SSA. I believe we're working now in the fourth quarter of 2015 quarterly earnings.
I see. Okay.
Okay.
What is third quarter? Third
right.
or fourth? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in response to your question, if a self-employed beneficiary has filed their taxes in January, we should have those earnings posted to SSA. But right now, I mean, we had up to April 15th, 18th, I forgot what it was this year. You wouldn't have that information this soon. We might have it in another couple months.
Sure.
Yeah, but we at least have a full calendar year of earnings through the quarterly earning process posted to SSA records.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Excuse me. And my second question is a little bit different. I got a call from someone interested in the Ticket to Work program who said he was actually getting a percentage from his current EN, and like it sounded like a kickback to me. And to me, I thought that was illegal. But is it permitted to give like monthly stipends to Ticket to Work clients?
It's not a stipend. There are different types of business models with ENs. We have traditional ENs, and those are ENs where the beneficiary goes to work. The EN provides them different services and support, and the beneficiary goes back to work, and once the beneficiary has achieved a certain level of earnings, the EN receives maybe phase one milestones, phase two milestones, or outcome payments, depending on the payment status and benefit, depending on the earnings level. We have different models. We have employer ENs, and we have something called a CDS or Consumer Directive Service EN. And these are ENs who provide the service they provide, and it's legal, by the way. The beneficiaries go to work, and the support that is actually provided are in things like transportation. It's a number of items that the EN can reimburse the beneficiary's expenses for. So that's what it sounds like.
That's good to know, because I was pretty surprised when I heard it. I mean, they were currently assigned to an EN and wanted to come to someone else, but then they said, well, I'm getting payments, so how much are you going to pay, basically?
That's just under a specific business model.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good to know. Thank you.
There are no further questions.
Deborah, do we have any other questions in the chat room?
Yeah, I have two that I want to address. One is from Teresa. Her question is, I have a beneficiary that is a 1099, but she has a signed document from her employer bi-monthly showing her wages. How do I submit? It's a 1099. That's a contractor. Withholdings are not made, so we treat that as self-employed. So it would be the same way we would treat any other self-employment claim. You could submit the claim through the portal. If the earnings are posted to Social Security's systems and it meets the criteria for that payment, we will pay it. If not, we'll have to wait till that beneficiary files taxes. Marlon Revoir has asked the question, can you clarify working in the fourth quarter of 2015? Does that mean earnings as of 12/31/15 or earlier? It means the fourth quarter of 2015 covers October through December 31st, 2015. So when I say that we have in the fourth quarter of 2015, we have that quarter is October through the end of December. We've already had prior quarters for 2015. And so what I'm saying to you is now we have a full year of earnings and for all of 2015. The latest earnings that we have cover October through December. Okay? Okay, so no more questions.
We do have a question from Janet Seavely.
Hi, Janet.
Hi. I was just – can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I was just wondering if there's a possibility of doing a combination of traditional and consumer-directed services.
Okay. Let me – Janet, what state are you in?
Oregon.
Oregon. Do you know who your ENSB analyst or specialist is that works at Social Security?
No.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll send your inquiry to Social Security. Every EN has a representative from the EN Services branch up at Social Security that you can call with any questions about the ticket program, and this group also works on contracts. So I'll send the inquiry up to whoever. You said Oregon?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'll send this inquiry up to find out who has Oregon and send the inquiry up to that person to get back to you.
Okay, thanks. Can I ask you one more?
And you want to know whether or not you could be a combination CDS and traditional EN?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And could I ask a different question, too? I guess I always assume that if somebody went all the way through the program, you know, starting from the beginning of their trial work period,
mm-hmm.
that you would cut all of the payments, all the phase
mm-hmm.
1 payments, all 11 phase 2 payments, even if some of them came in a retro check. And
right.
then six outcome payment.
Mm-hmm.
Just had somebody who, like, terminated prior to getting all those payments. And she terminated because she was working and her extended period of eligibility was over. And, I mean, she's doing good. But I felt like I missed a few payments at the end there. Is that typical? Or I guess I just can't get my head around how that happened.
I don't see that many situations where there's a termination of the beneficiary. If you look in the regs, I believe it's somewhere in the regs, you know, you can get paid as long as the beneficiary is eligible for the ticket program. If it's a medical CDR, they're no longer disabled is one reason. If they reach a certain age, they're no longer disabled. They're in the aged or old age survivors insurance trust fund. There are a number of reasons, three main reasons, I believe. But I've never seen a situation, or if I have, it may have been one or two situations where it was a medical CDR, so the beneficiary was no longer eligible for ticket to work. The other situations I've seen where that particular ticket did not go to the full payment is if the beneficiary had a new date of disability onset. They may have applied for an expedited reinstatement claim and it was approved, and if it was, if that situation happens, then the old ticket is no longer valid. It should be terminated. A new ticket should be created. A new IWP should be signed, and with the beneficiary. The beneficiary can go to a different EN because it's a new ticket and has a new value. So those are the situations I know where, you know, you may not get the full amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I shouldn't go back to EXR, but okay. I'm still trying to get why she terminated from the local office, so.
I mean, I've seen some other things, too, because, you know, you have Title 16, Title 2, SSI, SSDI. Recently, I've seen a situation where it was the SSI beneficiary went into a non-pay status because they requested to voluntarily to be terminated from the program. Now, if that beneficiary was at an SD, well, had high-level earnings where outcome payments could be paid. It all depends on the reasons for their request to terminate from the program. If it was a situation due to their work or earnings, they were making enough money and they just did not want to be bothered with, you know, the program anymore. They felt that they were self-sufficient. We still can pay you outcomes on those. So it all depends on the reason and the program. The rules for SSI and SSDI can be different.
So I'm best off, you know, getting the information on why she terminated first.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
So I should find out why she terminated first.
Yeah, and some, you know, maybe it was a mistake. You can check into that. Sometimes a record is terminated and should be terminated, again, for SSI, but the ticket is incorrectly terminated. So you may just want to check into that.
Okay. I think.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star followed by the number one. Our next question comes from Serena Piazza.
Hi, I was just calling. I wanted to ask about the terminations that she was just talking about. Okay, one thing that I have seen, and we haven't gotten payments because of terminations, is because that the local office doesn't have contact information on them. So we've been denied payment even though we've had earnings because the local office, for some reason, can't get in touch with the client.
Okay, that's a valid reason for not paying. Well, we don't call it terminated. We might say suspended because, for all we know, that beneficiary is deceased. So if
right, but we've in the past, we've had the earnings, and we've been denied payment, and maybe their address isn't on the earnings that we have.
It's when we make payments to you, it's certain rules we have to follow.
Yeah.
Basic payment status that we follow is the beneficiary's either in a current pay status. We pay you milestones, phase one, possibly phase two, based on the earnings, or the beneficiary is in a non-paying or suspense due to work or earnings. Those
right.
are only two reasons for suspense and non-pay that we can make payments to you, and that's if the earnings are at SGA, and then we make outcome payments.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a reason for non-pay or suspense other than those, more than likely, based on the rules, we do not pay you.
Right. It was the reason for denial was, you know, suspense due to other than earnings. But it was just simply they didn't have the guy's updated information.
Well, if you're still in contact with that beneficiary, please just ask them to go to Social Security and update their mailing or their address information.
Right. But it just seems, you know, because we've got the earnings to prove it, they're not due the Social Security benefit. They're probably getting direct deposit.
Right.
And we're being denied because the person doesn't tell Social Security they moved.
Yeah, you know, with that pretty much, as far as I remember, I used to work at Social Security at one time. Even program benefit payments were suspended at some point. And I understand what you're saying. You know they're not deceased.
Right.
Because they're still working and you see the pay stubs or whatever. But that's even a rule, not only for ticket payments, but for program payments. If the address is not updated and SSA knows that, they will put a code in there to suspend any type of payment.
But now once they do, if they ever do get the updated information, will they go back and pay those months?
You can, yes. If, this is what happens with ePay, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
ePay is good. And again, when I mentioned how we process a claim, we not only look at the current earnings or the current pay status. Whenever we look at each SSN on our file, we do a full review of that SSN. We go back. There have been some beneficiaries that have been in current pay sometimes for a couple years with high earnings, and SSA may retroactively place that beneficiary into suspense due to work or earnings. We have gone back and paid 24 months, 36 months about.
No, I've seen that.
Yeah. So we
with ours, what I don't think a lot of people realize is they're waiting around for ePay, but you don't have to.
You don't have to. And that's why we mentioned that you can continue to submit your payment request.
Yeah.
And especially, I mentioned SEI because a lot of times SEI, ends with SEI clients, they don't have earnings evidence. It was just that form that we used to use at one time where the beneficiaries could submit their gross and net earnings. But, you know, if you believe they're working, if you, you know, if they've said even to you, I've already, you know.
No, well, I've already been paid for a lot of our clients up through December because the information's there. You just haven't processed the file yet.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much caught up until at least December for the ones I don't have earnings for. The information's there, and you don't have to wait for the e-file. If you go in and start the payment request, as long as there's established earnings, you process it. And I've gotten, you know, I'm pretty current.
Okay. And so are other ENs who are just, that's why we wait for that updated quarterly file to work an e-pay file. We get more bang for the buck.
Right, but it doesn't sound like from some of the questions, some of the ENs don't realize that you don't have to wait for the ePay to come out.
Right.
so that was just something, you know, to get out there that you can go and, if you know, check and see if there's established earnings. You don't have to wait for the e-pay to come out.
Right.
So, but, yeah, that was just another termination reason that I've seen in the past, and that I just didn't understand why, if it was just because of contact information. When we had established earnings, we had the earnings in hand. We just didn't have the current address because the guy won't give it to us.
Okay.
I don't know if he's paranoid or he won't give it to us. So he, you know, we can't get paid on him until somebody figures out where he's living now.
Okay.
But that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Donna Connerly.
Hi. This is Donna Connerly, Goodwill, Orange County in California. I just have a general question. Sean mentioned earlier the learning opportunity through the self-paced module for the ticket portal. Is that accessed through the actual ticket portal, or is that outside of the ticket portal? I'm fairly new to the program and was hoping to get some, you know, some type of tutorials, a good look at the ticket portal while I'm going through the suitability process. Can I access this without actually being in the ticket portal?
You want to tell them, Alexa? We have someone from our training department here who can answer that question for you.
Hi, this is Alexa Valencia. To access the ticket portal learning module, that's actually on the secure site. We have a separate site on our public website that's specific to ticket portal resources. So to get access to that, you need to create a MySSA account, and you also need to have ticket portal access. So if you're unsure of those steps, you can either contact whoever your EN consultant is here with TPM or your ENSB representative.
Okay. Yeah, I do have access. I do have the SSA account and with the extra security set up, and we're pretty much, you know, just waiting for the final clearance.
Okay.
We understood that there was some training and some things that we should be doing while we are waiting. And
yeah, currently on our on the public site of yourtickettowork.com, there is minimal resources about the ticket portal. However, to view the actual screens that you'll view within the ticket portal, how to process payments and all of that information, you won't have access to that information until you pass the requirements necessary.
Understood. Okay, thank you so much.
No problem.
Our next question comes from Gloria Hopkins.
Hi, yes, thank you. I have maybe two questions. The first question is, I recently submitted a request for payment for a beneficiary, and they had established earnings in the portal, and I got denied. I think it was a number, maybe 21, I'm not for sure, but they were saying that they were waiting on documentation such as the EN service certificate. However, this is a beneficiary from like 2009 or 10, and we didn't fill that document out at that time.
Are you saying the request for EN supplemental earnings?
No, not supplemental earnings. I think they were asking me for like certificate of services.
That is an obsolete process. If you did get something back requesting that, I need you to send your request into our EM Payments Help Desk to check that. I'm not sure, maybe the wrong denial reason was sent to you, but that process for the EN certification services is obsolete. So I'm not sure why you got that denial reason.
So you want me to send the actual request where?
You can send an inquiry into our EN Payments Help Desk.
Okay. Help Desk. Okay,
and if you still have any of those work case numbers?
Yeah, I still have the work case numbers because it's...
Okay, put that in your email or your request because due to PII, you shouldn't... put in any social security numbers and names, but if you list the work cases that were denied
And the reason was the request for EN costs or a certification of services. Send that request up so that the provider support manager or one of the staff can take a look at that and investigate.
Okay, great. My next question, what happened, I went to put in the portal for a request for payment for one of the beneficiaries, and he was no longer in my portal. And I'm like, I didn't understand what happened to that person. So what I did, I even put his Social Security number in there, and it came back, the ticket is unassignable and has been terminated. So he actually called me the same day, and he says, what's going on, because Social Security called me in, and they're going to take me off Social Security because they said I'm able to work. Now, is that a case where the case is just closed and I just, on my end, just closed the file?
Sounds like to me, again, not knowing everything, I really can't give you a good answer, but what it sounds like, it sounded like it was a medical CDR, but if they had a ticket assigned, they should have been excluded from that. So I don't know. I again, you will have to send that specifically as an inquiry into our payment help desk so that we can research that particular item.
Oh, okay. Good enough. Thank you so very much for your help.
Stephanie.
Okay.
No, I was just asking if we had any additional questions.
We do have a question from William Semple.
Hello.
Hello.
I can be heard?
Okay. Yes, we can hear you.
My name is Bill Temple. I'm calling from Staten Island, New York. And I'm calling about the policy relative to the resources that a person can be disclaimed, that a waiver can be issued if a person has been, for instance, hypothetically, we've seen a couple of instances where a person has started to work and making a very significant salary, and as a result of it, they started to put some money in the bank, and shortly thereafter, they were told that they had exceeded the amount, I think it's $2,000, and that these resources could preclude them from receiving any further help from Social Security, as well as the EN, of course, does not receive any further remuneration for their efforts on their behalf. And I'm wondering if that policy is being read properly, because it seems to be in contradiction to the 9 months that you can earn as much money as you can possibly earn during the, excuse me, not 9 months, yes, it is 9 months, without being called to task relative to the amount of money that they're receiving. The rebudgeting happens after the 9 months, if I understand properly.
It sounds like you're talking about an SSI recipient and their rules for SSI. Again, these are two different programs. SSI is a needs-based program, and it's based, the eligibility for the program is based on resources. So, you know, for Title II, you could be SSDI, have money in the bank, and it might not be an issue. But for SSI, it is an issue. You know, the federal government makes these payments, they're looking at all your resources. So that situation sounds like it could happen. And if it did happen, again, it sounds like it was an SSI recipient. So that beneficiary, and, you know, I don't know right now whether you have someone in your, I guess it would be a CWIC or someone, and who would it be in the Social Security office who could educate the ENs on the rules for the different programs, because it sounds to me like this is an SSI case. Do you know?
Let me ask you this, Steve. Let me interrupt for a second.
Sure.
It would seem to me as though if we have an SSI applicant, that it seems to be suggesting that we, contrary to what we normally would suggest, of course, that if they start making a decent salary, that they put aside a little bit for a rainy day, and that rainy day may come around more quickly as a result of exceeding that $2,000.
Right.
In other words, should we suggest that they tuck away the money they're making under a mattress so that they are not being disclaimed? In other words, it becomes a disincentive, I would think.
I think that beneficiary, I can't give you the rules on that because
I'm not knowledgeable about what the beneficiary under SSI can earn and not, and what other resources they may have. It could be other things other than cash that may affect their benefits. And if you don't know what the rules are there, that beneficiary should maybe check a beneficiary hotline, call that, maybe have a WIPA referral to educate them on the rules for SSI as far as what you can have and under what situations your benefits would stop and what resources you're able to have. I think there's a certain dollar amount, but I'm not sure what it is, and I don't want to give you wrong information, but there are limits.
All right, I can understand one of the things that if they would hit the lottery or if they would be named as an heir in a settlement of an estate, that there's certainly going to be a review of their assets. But by the same token, you know, I would think that if it was money that they were earning from the job that we were placed in, that we put some effort into placing them, that we should not be held to task as well or punished by virtue of the fact that our remuneration is discontinued at that point. All right, I guess I have to call the help desk to get further clarification on that.
I think in this situation it would be the beneficiary helpline.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
We do have a follow-up question from Lisa Palatiano.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey there again. Thank you very much. I just wanted to clarify. So if a Ticket to Work participant with MyEN receives services, goes to work, and then becomes homeless where they don't have an address, or we've also had that where they don't, you know, where a person may not want to tell me their address, that the payments stop to the EN because the local SSA office does not have a current and correct address for the beneficiary?
I'm saying Social Security may place that beneficiary into a status if they don't have an updated address for the beneficiary. I know that there are homeless recipients, and some use local field offices for addresses. I just know that this is just a rule with, or a policy with Social Security, that the beneficiaries that Social Security serve, they must have a way to get in touch with them. It may not be a matter of mailing them a check because a lot is direct deposit, but there's other information that Social Security needs to have contact with the beneficiary. And again, we have a number of situations. This is program information that I'm talking about now. There are a lot of payments that go out to deceased beneficiaries every year, every month. The only way Social Security knows someone has died is for someone to tell them. Another way used to be for return checks from the post office because it would be marked on the envelope. But today, since most of the payments are direct deposit, there's very few methods or resources for Social Security to get that information from. But Social Security needs to have a current address on all beneficiaries.
Okay, so that's something we'd add to our information to program participants is not only report your wages every month, but make sure that the SSA local office has your current address.
Yes.
Otherwise, you may lose program protection.
Yeah, and they can call the 800 number just to report a change of address. They don't even have to visit the Social Security office for that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
There are no further questions.
Okay. As a reminder, the TPM provides an opportunity to all ENs to discuss payment-related topics on the last Tuesday of each month during the All EN Payments call at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The full transcript and audio for the All EN Payments call are all available on the Ticket to Work website under the Events and Archives section. We encourage our EN community to take part in all the call sessions. The next All-EN Payments call is scheduled for Tuesday, May 24th at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This will conclude our presentation for today. Thank you all for listening, your attention, and participation during the call. Please have a great evening, and we look forward to our next presentation on May 24th.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.